In our series on being the new humanity, that's the current sermon series we're doing. In the book we're doing, we've come to a chapter on agency. So the authors of the book we're reading suggest that part of being the new humanity involves reinforcing agency. So today we're going to talk about being an agent. You may be thinking secret agent person. And we'll get to something like that. But one definition of an agent is a person who has the power to act. Initially, I thought about being a free agent, being able to do whatever I want. That's very exciting. Doing whatever I want. Freedom. Except I can't just do whatever. Doing whatever might work some of the time. But most of the time, we're only free to act within some kind of boundary, within structures often set up by society. And if we act outside those structures, we can't be an effective agent. Our actions will lack meaning, or our actions will be misunderstood or have unintended consequences. So let me give you a couple examples. First, language. I'm speaking to you in English this morning. If I attempted to give this sermon in cat, meow, you would not understand me. I don't know if I would understand myself. The cats might understand me, but I don't know. My personal agency means I could do this, but my actions would have little meaning. Second example, yesterday I went to a dance recital, and during one number, a small child was looking for her family, and they waved at her. She spots them, and she pointed, and enthusiastically she waved back, and got so involved in looking for her family that she lost her space and timing with the music. So her main action when she was on the stage was looking for her family, finding them, waving, losing sight of them, finding them again, waving. But it meant that she was out of place and out of step with her colleagues, her fellow dancers in the number. It was very cute, and as her family were sitting right in front of where I was, we enjoyed this diversion from the dance very much. But the dancer as free agent meant the number didn't go as planned. There was a structure for the dancers to follow, and when one was out of step and place, the whole was impacted. So being an agent doesn't mean we have freedom to do whatever. Structures and boundaries give meaning and shape to our actions. Effective agents, agents who act well, who get things done, use structures and contexts around them to give strength, meaning, and shape to their actions. So, how does our faith structure our actions? What kind of agents are we because of our relationship with God? Does it make any difference to the way I act in the world that I follow Jesus? Well, Psalm 8 has some things to say to us about being human agents in God's created world. So we heard Psalm 8 read to us earlier in the service. And the psalm is a well-structured poem that shows that human beings have been appointed as God's agents. Humans, you, me, everybody else on the planet, are God's agents in this created world. So let's look at this poem, Psalm 8, again, and see if I am right in making that statement. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So, psalms are poems, but because we are accessing this poem in a translation of the original language, we don't always see how the poetry part works. Poetry written in English has a rhythm and a rhyme to it that's easy for English speakers to see and hear. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, rhythm and rhyme. When an English poem is translated into another language, the rhythm and rhyme is usually lost in translation. And many of you don't speak English as your first language, and you can probably think of a poem in your mother tongue that wouldn't translate to English well. And you might have to paraphrase it a little so that it could be understood. Similarly, this psalm, which was written in ancient Hebrew, has something called a chiastic structure to it, a structure that frames the center of the psalm. This structure emphasizes the center and highlights the turn in the middle of the poem as the key idea in the psalm. In this particular psalm, Psalm 8, the structure is seen most obviously in English in the fact that verse 1 and verse 9 are identical. There's an identical line there. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This pair of lines frames the whole poem. It starts it out and it concludes it. Leading up to and away from the center of the poem, there are other pairs of lines on either side of the center that kind of match up with ideas. And in the center of the psalm is verse 5 and verse 6. What are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. In these verses, the psalm turns from part 1, which is full of God's dominion, to part 2, which talks about the dominion God gave to humans. The psalm moves from talking about God's dominion and God's glory set above the heavens, God's power to defeat God's enemies and foes, God's creative work in establishing the moon and stars in the heavens. The turn goes to humans and the dominion God gave these creatures over all the works of God's hands, including animals, birds, and fish. Part 2 reflects part 1. And in the center, God gives humans, mortals, made a little lower than God, glory, honor, and dominion over other created beings. The central point of Psalm 8 is this: God appoints humans as God's agents in the created world. God appoints humans as God's agents in the created world. So how does this work? I don't know about you, but I look around at the world and it seems that we humans have not done our best work as God's agents in the created world. We don't look after animals and birds and fish well, let alone look after each other. We have often taken the gift of being God's agents in the world and turned our backs on what God intended for the world and acted in our own self-interest rather than acting with God's interest in mind. In Psalm 8, the center, God appointing humans as God's agents in the created world, is framed at either end by praise spoken to God by humans. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This frame of worship gives our role as God's agents a context. Human agency is bounded and framed by praise of God. When humans act without this context of praise to God, without the context of the majesty of the Creator who gives humans the power to act, we usurp more than God gave us. We say, oh, I can do anything. God said I could do it. We're in charge. We usurp more than God gave us. Because humans have the ongoing problem of sin, which is our propensity to mess things up, we constantly need to be reminded that we are acting as God's agents, not as gods in the world. Framing our work by worship grounds us in this reality. We act as God's agents, we are not gods. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. But we can't stay in the frame. We can't just sit in the worship, much as we might like to. Our work, our action as God's agents in the world is framed by worship, but we cannot abandon the work we have been given and just leave it to God. Psalm 8 clearly calls us to worship, but it also calls us to act. As we act our vocation, our calling, the work we have been given, that action is in the context of worship. Worship grounds us and sends us into the world to act as God's agents. In the frame of worship, within the boundary of worship and the declaration of the majesty of God, we are sent into the world to act as God's agents. Worship grounds us and sends us into the world to act as God's agents. But what a huge task. Who can do it? What on earth does it even mean to be sent out into the world to act as a God agent? How are we up for it? I started this morning by noting that I can't do whatever I want as a free agent. The structures of society, of language, of technology give me freedom to act as an agent within these structures. Structures provide boundaries, but also strength. Structures are frameworks to build on. They give shape to our actions. For this enormous task of being God's agent in the world, we need some structure, some boundaries, a framework that we can use to think about what this might become in each of our lives, in the life of this congregation. Worship is part of that structure. In Galatians 6, we hear about freedom in Christ. As Christians, followers of Jesus, we have freedom. Our freedom is real freedom when we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and provides structure, strength, and shape to our actions. In Galatians 6, 22 and 23, there's a list of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, one more time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As God's agents in the created world, our actions should be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of this empowerment by the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago, we recited a prayer together as a congregation. I don't remember much about the prayer, to be honest, but in the part that we read out together, we called ourselves agents of reconciliation. Agents of reconciliation. It got into my head. I wrote it down immediately in the back of my sketchbook. Agents of reconciliation. The new superheroes, I wrote. I was leaving church later on, and I joked to Elaine that I was going out into the world to be an agent of reconciliation. In my head, it was sort of like being a secret agent or an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., that Marvel comic gang. My joke about being an agent of reconciliation actually stuck with me through my work week. And thinking of myself as an agent of reconciliation, an agent of reconciliation, sorry, we have to have the voice, helped me somehow in my work relationships. Things had been a bit off at work. There were a lot of changes in personnel and new reporting structures. And I think the Holy Spirit working in me with that agent of reconciliation voice in my head helped me in thinking about building more positive relationships that week. So where am I going with this? What does this have to do with the fruit of the Spirit and being God's agents in the world? Well, I'd like to suggest a little exercise for us. Maybe one of the fruit of the Spirit could be your agent of God title for the week. Are you an agent of love? An agent of joy? Of peace? Patience? Kindness? Generosity? Faithfulness, gentleness, possibly an agent of self-control. You could also consider being an agent of reconciliation. Which agent are you? How does that shift the way you think about your week? When I have to do laundry, maybe reminding myself that I am an agent of joy will help me get through the sock matching and folding. When I'm annoyed with my colleagues at work, maybe the secret that I'm an agent of patience will give me the ability to build positive relationships instead of acting out of petty annoyance. How might acting as agents of generosity change our thinking about our economic systems? How do agents of peace change the way we think about conflict? How do agents of gentleness change the way we respond to the divisive way our world is presented to us? So, what's your story? What are you anticipating? What kind of agent could you be? I'd like to give you about 3-5 minutes. Invite you to turn to your neighbor, maybe have a quick discussion about agents of God and what kind of agent you might be this week. If you need a little bit more time to think about it, feel free to take the time to think. But if you want to talk it out, now is the time to do it. Sometimes over lunch, we have a question and we have the ability to share with each other a bit about answers to the questions. I don't know if anybody wants to share for the larger group right now or if you want to wait for smaller conversations later.
Good morning, Chad. Mine, I want to be an agent of patience and self-control. Reasons? Sometimes when you go out there, you meet with so many people who will annoy you. Maybe... Yeah, even where we are doing our placement, sometimes you want to ask someone something and they are like, you know, very unwelcoming and you are like, my God, look at this one. Sometimes Some people you even say hi, they don't even say hi to you. And you feel so annoyed. You are like, my God, does she think she is God because she is this and that? So I would like to be an agent of patience and also self-control, because sometimes you feel like you can tell them something to just to prove to them that even you, yes, even you, you are somebody. So that's my take. I want to be an agent of patience and self-control. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane. Anybody else want to talk about their possibilities?
Good morning, church. Yeah, my name is Shola Alabi. I would like to be an agent of love, because God himself is love. And he shows us love by giving his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to us. And he said, all the laws are combined together and made as one, that love thy neighbor as thyself. As agent of love, during this last week, one of my colleagues in the class was so sad, frustrated, that she's tired of being in this life. She told my wife now told me, she almost gave up everything. And I told my wife, we must wait for her and see her. We waited until maybe after an hour, we were waiting for her. When she came out, we told her, we've been waiting for you. I said, why? I said, my wife told me about you, that you are frustrated and you gave up. I talked to her. In fact, she was very happy. I hugged her. She said she has never been shown love like this. The following day, she was so cheerful in the class, very happy, that if not that we talked to her yesterday, she almost committed something. But thank God that we talked to her. There's another lady in my class too, always sad. We never see her laugh. I talked to the people around. The people sitting beside her, they don't even greet each other. They don't talk to each other. Call those people, talk to them. You can see that, for me, God is telling me that this lady is going through a trauma. And I called her, I talked to her. She now told me a story. Her husband was killed beside her. So I now talked to the people around, the classmates, that we need to show our love. We need to bring her close. So each time I see her in the morning, I greet her, I hug her, and since then, her life has changed. You see her love in the class now. So that's what I want to be, and that's what I am now, agent of love.
In order to be truly free, we live by the Spirit. As God's agents in the world, the Holy Spirit living in us gives structure and shape and strength to our actions. Be God's agent in God's world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.